Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Steve Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we're going to be talking about Cyrano's production of El Hermoso Neri.
And to talk about it, we have Krista Schwarting, the director of the show, and Julie Swem, who is playing Artie in the show. Welcome to Stage Talk.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You.
Well, tell us a little bit about this show with this interesting name.
Well, El Hermoso Neri is a really gorgeous play by the playwright Lee Blessing. And there's some special history with the show. It was the first show that Cyrano's Theater Company, formerly Eccentric Theater Company, produced 20 years ago. And so 20 years ago at this time, El Hermoso Neri was being done for the first time in Anchorage. So to kick off our 20th anniversary season, we are going back into the archives and pulling out this show and taking a really great fresh look at it. It's a stunning show. It's visually quite beautiful. Margaret Hughie Lewis did the set. And I couldn't be happier with the group of actors we got, two of whom are new to the Cyrano stage.
Including our guest today. And what part do you play?
I play Artie.
Who is? Tell us about it.
She is a very intelligent woman, and the play revolves around the relationship between Artie, her mother Dorothea, and her daughter Echo, and the three relationships and how they intertwine. And Artie is just a very intelligent woman, and she struggles with her relationship with her mother and her daughter.
And one of the challenges to this show, I assume, is that the fact that the three characters on stage, it's a non-realistically portrayed show in the sense that it's not a four-wall kind of play.
That's correct. It's not a linear play. It goes back and forth in time and place. So I can't remember how young did we figure out you are at one point. You're 15.
15, yeah.
So Artie goes from being 37 to 15 at one point in time and some various places in between. Echo, the youngest generation, goes from being 15 for most of the play, her present age, and she goes back to when she was a baby. And so, yes, it's not linear, but I don't think it's difficult to follow at all. It really rewards careful viewing, though.
And what's the relationship between the three women? How was that like?
It's three generations of women in one family. Three generations of women that have struggled with being intelligent and wanting to do extraordinary things. Dorothea, the grandmother character, is kind of hamstrung at the time she's born. She's really expected to marry well and have children and not pursue a profession. And she really chafes at that. She's somebody who is really bright, who wanted to go to college, and who couldn't go out and fulfill her dreams, which she then passes along to Artie, who has her own degree of chafing with she doesn't necessarily want the dreams that her mother has set out for her. And then it passes down again to Echo.
Sounds familiar.
No, I mean, that's the wonderful thing about this play is when I first read it, trying to decide whether I wanted to direct it, I saw generations of women in my own family in these characters, not in the specifics of their situations, but in their personalities and their struggles. And I think women are going to see their families in it. And I think men are going to go, oh, that's my wife, or that's my mother, or that was my grandmother. I think they're everyone will recognize someone in this play.
What age are they at the current time?
Well, it's interesting. Dorothea says at the very beginning of the play, I feel 50 today, but she's in her 70s. Artie is 37, we decided, and Echo is 15 at the start of the play.
But they do change ages during the play.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And you mentioned Margaret Hughie Lewis has designed the set for the play, and I've seen photographs of the set. I haven't seen the set yet, but describe the set a bit to show how that allows you for the change of time and place in the play.
Sure. The script dictates that this is really a play that's to be done very simply, that the words really need to speak for themselves. Margaret has designed a beautiful set that is inspired by the work of artist Paul Klee. So it is it's blocks of color, vibrant color, oranges and reds and purples and blues. And then the floor is a sort of a uniform terracotta color. But what this does is it gives us a canvas on which really to play out you know, the struggles of this group of women across time and place without being really indicative of any particular time and place. And the costumes are really wonderful, too. Lynn Murphy did a terrific job and really worked with us. It was a really collaborative process, the technical aspects of this show. We really sat down and said, how does one complement the other? And so the costumes pick up colors from the set. And Frank Hardy gave us a lighting design that was sort of warm and gauzy and in keeping with the idea of the set being sort of a palette on which we project these women's lives.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great looking play in addition to being beautifully acted.
And the name of the play, Eleemosynary, is a word we don't hear too often.
No, but it's a great word, isn't it?
And it has two sort of meanings in the play. Could you talk about that?
Sure, and I'll let Julie specifically address how it's said at the end of the play, because it comes back to us at the end of the play. But it means charitable or pertaining to the giving of alms. And I suppose if you wanted to talk a little bit about the plot of the play, Echo, the youngest generation, is convinced that if she goes to the National Spelling Bee, she will be able to get her mother and grandmother in the same room together, and they will be able to reconcile some of the problems they've had. And Eleemosynary is one of the words she spells during the bee, but it comes back at the end of the play where there's this lovely moment between Artie and Echo, and I'll let Julie talk about that.
There comes this moment where they realize that there are certain gifts that they each have to offer each other, and Echo, the youngest, she's so wise, she's so emotionally intelligent. She has so much to offer and give to her mother. And she basically just says, look, you know, we're going to make some changes around here, and I'm here to, you know, help cultivate our relationship and make it stronger. It's a gift, I think, that she gives her mother. And it's a gift that each of these women have gifts to give each other that they don't always realize at the time. But then they come to a point where they say, wow, yeah, this is amazing. This is what I have to offer you. Sometimes it's not even what we intend. And it just beautifully unfolds into this complex intertwining of, wow, okay, I'm not only are you giving me a gift, but I think I might be ready to receive it as well.
This is the kind of play I love.
Oh, it really is a play that the language really rewards a careful listening to it. And these women are so complex and fully developed. And I would be remiss, by the way, if I didn't mention the two terrific actresses who are not here. Bernie Blaine, who's familiar with certainly Cyrano's, mm-hmm. familiar to Cyrano's audiences, is playing Dorothea. And it's a different role than anything else I think I've ever seen her play. She is playing a real free spirit kind of character, and she's wonderful in the part. And I'm thrilled to introduce Denali Morgan, who is playing Echo. She's done some shows at Alaska Theater of Youth, but I think she will be new to almost everyone who comes to see the show. And she really is 15. It was really one of the things I felt strongly about was having an actress who was totally age-appropriate play the part and have that vulnerability and that awkwardness and the genuineness of being that age.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Christian Schwarting and Julia Swim, to talk about Cyrano's production of Eleemosynary.
And we've talked a little bit about the challenges of staging the play, going back and forth in time and place, the beauty of the words mm-hmm. and so forth. Were there any other challenges you had in mounting this play?
I really think casting was the huge challenge in this play. It had to be the right three women. The three women are all on stage for most of the show. I would say maybe they get 5 minutes off each collectively through an 85-minute show. And so they're constantly coming and going. And the range of emotion and age they're required to play is enormous. I said to Denali before we opened, I couldn't have done this at 15. You're calling on, you know, these vast emotions, and I think I probably saw 15 teenage girls in addition to a couple of actresses that were probably closer to 20 or 21, and it was a hard choice, but she has really risen to the challenge.
Excellent. I can't wait to see it.
I think you'll love it.
And there's no act break in the show, so it's relentless, correct? It's just, it starts in the beginning and goes all the way to the end with all these changes that happened in the show, correct?
That's right. Lee Blessing didn't write an intermission into the show, and I think it would be a mistake to have one simply because it all builds up to the spelling bee, which is in the second to last scene of the play. And then there's sort of this lovely coda to the play where they're figuring out exactly what their relationships are going to be going forward.
Excellent. How long does it last?
Really quite a short play. It's 85 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And Lee Blessing is the playwright for this play. He's a wonderful playwright. He's been up here to Alaska, I believe, before. Is he perhaps coming to come back and see his production again?
You know, I know Sandy reached out and invited him. He's still a working playwright. And unfortunately, I think he was not able to fit us into his schedule. I would have loved to have met him. I remember a play of his called A Walk in the Woods that I became familiar with when I was in high school, and which I loved. I would love to meet him, but sadly, I don't think he's coming.
That's too bad.
Unfortunately, we're about out of time, and so I have to thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Krista, I have to even name you, Krista and Julia Swim. And we're talking about Cyrano's production of Ella Mocenary, which is going on right now.
That's correct.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org. It's the last weekend to see Rent at the Performing Arts Center. Times are 7:30 tonight and Saturday with a matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets and information at 263-ARTS or go to centertext.net.
Alaska Pacific University will present readings from the works of Stephen Hunt on Tuesday, April 10th at 7:30 p.m. at Grant Hall. For more information, call 339-0364.
A dinner opera, Murder on the Love Boat, will be presented April 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st at the Bear Mountain Grill in Eagle River. The audience solves who done it. Shows benefit the local food pantry, so bring canned food donations. Get tickets at love.tix.com.
Up in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts is producing The Wizard of Oz through April 29th. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
The Department of UAA Theater and Dance presents Bring Back the Sunshine, a delightful puppet show for the entire family. Performances Friday and Saturday at 7, 8, and Sundays at 3. This show runs through April 22nd. For tickets and information, call 786-4849.
In Talkeetna, you can see Secrets of the Sluice Box. This is a Mad Mad production by the Denali Dames. Times are 8 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. See info at denaliartscouncil.org.
Anchorage Opera's production of The Sound of Music has three more performances, tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 2 and at 8. I highly recommend this well-produced and beautiful production. For tickets, go to centertix.net.
At Cyrano's, you can see Ella Mocenary. Showtimes are Thursday through Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.